Hi folks, Nathan Pierce here with Family Protection Ministries. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about jurisdictional authority and what the Bible says about education, as well as a little bit on some updates on legislation deadlines. And we're going to start with some scripture talking about God's word to us and where we need to start when we're talking about education. Welcome to the Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on the Frontline. So, the Bible is God's word to us. It's our foundational starting point for all knowledge and wisdom. And this amazing and inspired work has been given to us as an indescribable gift. A lamp to our feet, a light to our path, as it says in Psalm 119, verse 105. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, as we're told in 2 Timothy 3:16. So as we think about the idea of education, as we think about choosing and making decisions for our children in education, choosing what methods we will use and choosing who we will partner with in terms of how we're going to get our education done, how we are going to practically work through the grades as we, you know, raise up our children and move them from one grade level to the next, or depending on what your philosophy is on grades, just advancing them in their understanding and their ability to be effective for God's glory in life, we need to apply biblical principles in bringing about correct education, training in truth and righteousness, not just in what the world decides is education, because what the world decides is education doesn't necessarily match with what God would call education or God would call truth, because what is truth is really what matters, and we have to compare our understanding of what truth is to God's, because God is the one who sets the standard for what truth is. So applying biblical principles isn't always simple or obvious. Discernment comes from a life immersed in Scripture. So we really have to be familiar with Scripture to begin with in order to really understand where we are in with relation to the truth of Scripture, in relation to God's truth, and in relation to really the level at which we need to be match up with what God's standards are for us. So it's not just a matter of, are we going in the right direction with our education, but are we matching the standards that God has set before us? Are we doing our best for His glory? Are we running the race well in terms of teaching our kids things that will enable them to be of service to God? So that's why James 1:5 is so important, and I really appreciate this passage, because he urges us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And this can be applied to every area of life, of course, including if you're confused about a piece of legislation, which I am frequently, you can ask God for wisdom because he will give it. And it says here in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach. So he's not going to deride you for not knowing the answer. He's not going to hold back. He is going to give generously wisdom. That is what he says. He promises this in James 1:5, that he gives generously this wisdom that we need so that we can serve God better. But in order to do that, we have to be seeking God to begin with. We have to be pursuing his truth in his word. And as we look into the question of who holds responsibility for education, we have to start with God's structure of authority. And that is the three primary spheres of government: the family government, the church government, and the civil government. Each of these is fully legitimate in its space. Each one of these is designed by God. And yet each one of these sometimes conflicts and contradicts and is at war with the others. So these three basic areas of government, family, church, and civil government, all answer to God ultimately, as do we as individuals answer to God. So we're kind of responsible for our own self-governance as well. And yet that's the one thing that's ultimately going to be answered for at the end of all things, is our individual standing before God. But in the context of the world that we live in, family government also has to answer to God, and we as individuals playing our role in family government must answer for our own part in that as individuals. The same with the church. As individuals, we have to answer for our part in church government before God. And the same with civil government. Those that are involved in civil government, whether you're voting, whether you're talking to your legislator, whether you are a legislator, or whether you're the president of the United States, each individual must answer for their own actions before God when it comes to civil government involvement. So as we can see, all three of these are definitely something that's been ordained by God, and we need to recognize that each area of government has its own appropriate God-ordained jurisdiction. So that means that they have authority in that sphere, not in a sphere outside of that sphere, but inside of that sphere, that government entity or group of people have the authority in that sphere. So let's start with the family. In Genesis 1:28, God blesses the first family and commands them to be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion. Genesis 2:24, God establishes marriage. Deuteronomy 6 and 11, Psalm 78, and Proverbs 22:6 make it crystal clear that parents are commanded to teach their children. Education is not delegated to the state. It is entrusted to the family. Ephesians 6:4 echoes this in the New Testament. Fathers, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The church also is given authority, but not over the family. In Matthew 16:19 and 1 Timothy 3, the church is given keys and order to shepherd and disciple, not to raise children, but to teach the younger. Older are to teach the younger, right? And so it's important to follow that structure. It's not replacing the family structure. It is in addition to the family structure, but in a different sphere. Civil government also has a role, and that's to punish the evildoer, to protect those that are innocent, and depending on your translation, to perhaps reward those who do good, to praise those who do good. Romans 13:4. And so scripture never gives the state the authority to educate children. As Israel Wayne rightly puts it in his book, Does God Have an Opinion? The state's job is justice, not instruction. So what's the responsibility here and what's the warning? Christian parents dare not to neglect this sacred responsibility. We live in a time when these jurisdictions are confused or abused, when the state increasingly intrudes where God never gave it power. But God is not the author of confusion. He has spoken, and it's our duty to listen. So today we're going to explore what the Bible teaches about jurisdictional authority and education. We'll see how Scripture lays out a framework that protects freedom, fosters wisdom, and honors God's design. So as we look at jurisdictional authority, we know that we've all seen issues where major problems come when one sphere steps in to claim authority in another sphere. One sphere of perhaps civil government steps in and tries to take over authority that is rightfully in the sphere of the family. And the same with the church. When the civil government steps in and tries to take over the church, that's a big problem. And the same goes the other way. When the church tries to come in and step over and take over the role of the state, then you have another kind of problem. And so, but as individuals, we are all a piece, we all have a place in every one of these institutions, in every one of these realms of authority. Each one of us has a role to play, a responsibility in that sphere, in that government. So, in terms of education, let's just start with that. In terms of education, we look at Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6, we're reminded that we're supposed to be, at all times, parents are supposed to be bringing their children up in ways to remind them, to teach their children the things of God. And this is explained here in this passage in Deuteronomy 6 in such a way that there's not any place for parents to sort of pass on that responsibility to someone else. There's a responsibility, an obligation on the part of the parent to take that responsibility on for themselves, to carry that responsibility constantly, all the time. Their child is supposed to be with them when they're standing up, sitting down, walking, lying down. Everything that you do, you're supposed to be modeling a love for God and an appreciation of Him and a service to Him for their children. And so there's no room here for saying, oh, I'm going to give that responsibility to someone else. It is solely my responsibility. It rests on my shoulders as a parent. So that's very clear in Deuteronomy 6, and we've already mentioned that we've seen it in other areas of Scripture. But ultimately, when we see that other sort of ways of going about education, people argue that those other ways of going about education works. But I think it's important to take a step back and ask the question, well, what is education in the first place? What do you mean by education? What do you mean by our education is successful? What do you mean by our students, when they graduate, they're prepared for life? What is it that you want them to do in life? Because if they're not prepared to honor God and to bring glory to God and to do what it says in Genesis 6, then there isn't a success story there. The success is when that transfer actually happens from the parents loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that transition, that baton gets passed from the parents to the child. Now, I'm not saying that parents can save their children, but I am saying that the responsibility to pass on the mindset and the attitude towards God to their children is clearly given to parents here in Deuteronomy 6. And it does model here in Deuteronomy 6 that parents are with their children all the time, without exception, really. I mean, there's probably situations where we have our children do things with other people, but they're still always going to be under our responsibility and authority. And so we need to make sure that we're not usurping or passing off that authority to someone else. We're not allowing the government to take over that responsibility. We're not allowing the government to say, okay, parents don't have responsibility anymore. It's the government's responsibility. We don't just allow that responsibility that God's given us as parents to be taken over by the government. So what the context of the Deuteronomy passage is specifically addressing is instruction in the law. God is still telling us that no matter what we are doing and what we are teaching, His law must be central to that teaching, to that action, to that life lived out. The Bible is clear that children have been entrusted to parents. Parents, not civil government, have authority over their children. So parents are to teach their children, as Psalm 78, verse 5 makes clear. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach their children. The Bible also addresses who should not be teaching our children. For example, they are not to be taught by their peers. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm, Proverbs 13:20. They should also not be given to the influence of the government schools. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher, Luke 6:40. So we need to be sure that we're careful with anyone that instructs our children in any subject, that subject is being taught with Christ at the center, and that God will be honored with how that teaching is being done, because ultimately, as Christ Himself said, those students will become like their teacher. And it's important also to remember that we must not partner with the world in training up our children. We should not become co-parents with the government. We shouldn't sign over custody or half custody or third custody to the government so that they maintain control of certain parts of our children's lives, because it all is supposed to be maintained by parents. God entrusted these children to us as stewards. We are responsible for their upbringing. The government has no obligation to give them the truth. So think about that. The government has no obligation to give the children the truth. The Bible teaches that making an alliance with the world will always lead to compromise. No partnership with the world will ever lead to advancement of the kingdom of God and His gospel. And ultimately, training up our children is about the gospel. The gospel cannot be centrally proclaimed in our child's education if we are partnered with the world in public education. So If we abdicate our opportunity to present our child's education through the lens of Scripture and the gospel, the secular government schools will be more than happy to step in and train them up in the ways of secular humanism, transgender propaganda, socialism, and critical race theory, just to name a few. God tells us in John 17 that we are not of the world, but that we have been sent into the world. While we do live and work among others in the world, we must not put ourselves in a position of submission at the cost of the gospel. So always remember what truth really is and what the most important thing is. In 1 Corinthians 15, God tells us, "For what I received," this is Paul trying to encourage people to take seriously the gospel. He says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." This is what Paul says is of most importance. Cornelius Van Til explains that non-Christians have a very different view of the world and that they are not concerned with bringing a child face to face with God. "What is utmost importance to us in education," Van Til said, "that which is absolutely indispensable to us is left out entirely of a non-Christian education, and that is the gospel. Non-Christian education is a godless education. Christians believe that God is preeminent, central to everything, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Colossians 1, 16 and 17. In contrast, non-believers place man in the center of everything. Government, education, public schools, including charters, affirm this man-centered view. Education will either be Christ-centered or man-centered. There is no other option. I appreciate what R.C. Sproul said about education. He said there is no such thing as a neutral education. Every education, every curriculum, has a viewpoint. That viewpoint either considers God in it, or it does not. So think about that as you consider some of the legislation that's going through the legislature right now. And remember that the Bible is God's word to us, and that it lays out the three spheres of authority and gives authority to parents for raising their children, does not give that authority to the state. That remains with parents. So as you look at legislation that's going through the legislature, we need to look at legislation and say, is this taking authority away from parents and giving authority that God gave to parents and taking that away and giving it to the state? And we have to look at all types of different legislation with that in mind, making sure that the government stays in the government sphere and that it allows family and the structure that God created within the family to maintain itself, be strong, and be responsible for its obligations that God has laid on it. And this can be a challenge, but it is right. It sometimes causes us to be at odds with other people, yet it is right. It can often cost us a great deal. It can cost us money. It can cost us things that we could get for free, and yet it is right. The distinction between the authority spheres that God has laid out is important to maintain, because when there is bleed over, there is trouble, and we have all seen that. As we look at legislation right now, we're seeing a number of bills that are going through the legislature that we're doing additional research on right now. As amendments have gone through, there have been additional conversations. There are still being committee hearings right now and floor sessions. There is a deadline tomorrow for bills to move through before the break. There's a summer break that lasts about a month, and it starts on Saturday of this week. So right now, the legislature is going through and trying to figure out which bills are going to push through at the last minute here before the break, and then they'll be taking a break. But in this meantime, we're taking a look at more in depth on some of the bills that are potentially troublesome. There's also research that we're working on regarding AB 84 and the implications it has on charter schools, as well as on down the road, things that it could imply for private education. Ultimately, we're seeing a lot of things that are getting more restricted that receive government funds. Government programs are being more tightly regulated, and there's an increased concern over the amount of money that is left Right now, the California budget does not look good. There is a lot of overspending, and so there is a tightening when it comes to how government funds are getting used, and that is something that I think is important to keep an eye on, because ultimately the government is spending money on a lot of things that it should not be spending money on, because if you look at those spheres of authority, the government, the civil government, is taking on things that the church and the family have both been responsible for but have maybe neglected. And so the civil government is taking those things on, spending tax dollars on them, and it is causing all kinds of problems because it's not being done the way that God designed the church or the family to handle it. And also it, because of the funding that it takes the government to do those things, it is then more expensive, and it's bad for the economy, and it's bad for individual families, and it's bad for the church just because of the amount of money that's going to the government from individuals and not able to go to the family or the church. So there's all kinds of different ways that these problems come out when there's a clash between those spheres of authority. So be praying for your legislator this week as they finish up the legislation and then they go on break. But be praying for us too as we continue to go deep diving into some of these legislative issues right now. And we appreciate your prayers for us. Thanks so much. Talk to you again next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.